So, but anyways, Fast and Furious Sunday. Before we do that, I'm excited about this Sunday. We want to dismiss our Ignite, our 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. They're going to be getting up and heading and getting the teaching on their level. Praise the Lord. Even though, you know what, we just had The Rock and Vin Diesel. I mean, come on, right? Well, anyways, super excited that you're here. Everyone's here today on Memorial Day weekend. Amazing. And so, there's Sherry, but I don't see Pedro. But I understand that you guys got engaged. Where is he? Is he here? He's here? Oh, then he's actually... What's up, Pedro? What's up? Congratulations. They got engaged this past week. So, figured I say something, then he's out of the room, right? But anyways, and then there was weddings yesterday. Maggie Lopez and Jose, or not sure, Maggie and Jose and Maggie Servine. Oh, I believe it is. Yeah. They were married yesterday in Puerto Rico, and also... And then here, this place was totally transformed. It was amazing. April Colon, she married her and Philip got married. So now they're Philip and April Schwer. So a lot of stuff, busy weekend, a lot of stuff going on. And here we go. We are ending the past five weeks. Has been amazing. Today we conclude with At the Movies. The series, five movies, five weeks, one place to be on Sunday morning right here at Family Worship Center. And we've been taking out biblical truths from different movies to encourage you, to challenge you. They basically are modern day parables, if you could say. You know, Jesus used stories and parables to make points, to teach. And so that's basically what we're doing. We're just using this. These and movie one, how many remember Jurassic World, right? Jurassic World and the dinosaurs that came in. And the focus of that message was how to tame the monsters in your heart. And so, and then movie two was Tangled, with the focus being of the message was untangling your mind. And so then movie three was The Greatest Showman. With the focus of that message being how to keep our God-sized dreams alive. And if you missed that, I mean, man, you give Lauren Daigle a run for her money when you sing that song. I'm like, my goodness. Seriously. And then that specific movie three, Greatest Showman, she actually sang that one song, This Is Me, from the movie. Oh, it was so good. You missed it, man, if you weren't here. And but movie four was last week, Star Wars. And with the focus being, that message is being a rebel with a cause against the world and being a person of your word. Now, all four of these messages, you can go to fwcpo.org if you missed them. They're all standalone. And so if you weren't able to be here, it's okay. You know, you can go to them, you can listen to them. They're all standalone. That's the way they were designed. So if you're here for the first time or you've missed a few, it's not like... you've missed something related to this specific Sunday. And so you can go to fwcpo.org and you can listen to all four. And I really, truly believe with all my heart they're going to encourage you, strengthen you, and cause your relationship with Christ to be closer. And so how many of you love the Fast and Furious movies? You know, okay, this is honesty. I know I met Stephanie in the back. She was at first service, and I found out she's hardcore Fast and Furious. She said, I own all eight movies, and I'm serious about that. And it offended me when you said you only saw four. No, she said that. First service, I was telling everybody, I've never seen all eight. I've seen four through eight. I didn't see one through three, I guess. Oh, yeah. And so I saw when The Rock started. And so, you know, I was like, okay, now I got my attention, you know. And so The Rock, Vin Diesel, how can you go wrong? And so... But and she's like, oh my gosh, you know, you offended me. And so she gave me an earful in the hallway. And so, no, she didn't. But anyways, these movies, man, I'll tell you what, they're seriously. Actually, this summer there's a spinoff. It's a spinoff of Fast and Furious taking place. The movie's coming out, and then next year they're doing Fast and Furious 9 because these movies make money. The first eight made over $5 billion. And so they know they've got a money-making franchise. And so, you know, the thing that makes these movies great, they're all about speed, right? Speed. We have a need for speed, right? They're all about adrenaline-pumping action. You just saw just some clips of the movie for the intro. And, you know, these movies are all about chase scenes. You know, they've gotten bigger and bigger and bigger with each and every movie. I mean, they sped through the streets of L.A. They have in Tokyo, London, through the tunnels of the Mexican border. They've even parachuted from a plane in their cars. They drove out and they parachuted down all together to land in the same direction driving. I mean, that's Hollywood people, you know, hitting the road, but we love them, right? You know, they have, they even have one where this one car jumps across skyscrapers, you know, and it's just anything they can think of, you know, they'll put it in, they've even taken on tanks, and you saw in the clip, even a submarine. And so every time it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and people still go for it. But the bottom line is all about speed. Speed. You know, the need for speed. And I can understand this as a kid, you know, growing up, because, you know, like I shared in the first service, you know, I remember when I got new kicks, right? And, I get new kicks. And if you don't know what kicks are, that is new sneakers. And so if, you know, I get new sneakers, new kicks, and the thing is, you place them on and you put them on, and automatically you believe with all of your heart because of the new sneakers, it causes you to what? Run faster. Right? And so you're ready to go. And then when I was growing up, I mean, I got a little older. I was collecting Matchbox cars and Hot Wheels. And, I always wanted the fastest one and the coolest looking one. And then when I got old enough to drive, I inherited a car from my father. I'm not sure which mother it was, maybe mother number two or three. But anyways, it was after the marriage ended, and I got inherited a 1983 Honda Civic. That's what it looked like. It was blue. And you know what? It was paid for. And I was, it was an automatic. It wasn't stick. So it had a little bit of, it sounded like a lawnmower, you know, when I was, you know, and so, but anyways, it basically took $20 to fill up the tank, and it lasted a couple weeks. That's how it was back then, you know, and, but I basically had that for about 4 years until I graduated high school, and I made the wonderful mistake to trade that in, I believe, and purchase something. At the time, Pastor Kathy and I were dating, and she said, "Don't do it. Don't make that decision. Don't buy that car." But I saw it, and I had to have it, because it was 1984 Dodge Daytona Turbo Z, you know, and that's what it looked like. I mean, it was a Turbo Z, people, you know. I mean, I went from that little blue Honda, you know, and now it's a Dodge Daytona Turbo Z. I had turbo, you know, and it was Z. And so I was like ready. And so, you know, I basically started making payments and out of the wazoo, and, you know, but I didn't care, you know, because I had a fast car, and it was nice looking, and it was a stick. And a stick shift. So, you know, months later, I had lots of, burned through a lot of clutches because, I didn't know how to drive a stick. You know, I believe Pastor Kathy, when we were dating, she showed me, cause she had a Dodge Daytona. And like I said, the first service, my Dodge Daytona was better than hers. And so even though she says hers was better because it was paid for. Yeah. Yeah. And so, thank you, Daddy. And so, but, yeah, she's like, J-O-B, J-O-B, I had a J-O-B. And so, But, you know, I had insurance. You know, my insurance is high. You know, I'm burning through clutches, making a payment, and fuel it was not a good car. It was not a good purchase. It started burning through fuel injectors at hundreds of dollars a piece. And so, when it wasn't in the shop, right, your boy was looking good on the beach, you know, styling and profiling when it wasn't in the shop. And so, that being said, it was, you know, it wasn't a good purchase. And now that I'm a little older, I really don't have a need for speed anymore. Like I said, first service, now I have a need for gas mileage. And so gas mileage is important. You have three kids. You know, I have a Jeep Wrangler, and, you know, if they aren't made for speed. And so that's okay. And I love my Jeep. But with two teenage boys, having something like a Dodge Daytona, or my brother has some kind of like souped up, you know, Chevy Charger. I mean, it's just, this thing is like Dodge Charger. It's like just mat. It's just juiced up, you know. And you know, I'm just, man, I would not want to give the keys to any of my kids because I know what I would have done. And so, I don't have a problem giving, my keys to the Jeep. Because I'm not going to be racing around much. It's not a dragster. But it reminds me of this parent in this picture that had a challenge with their kids. And so they made this decision when they gave them the car to actually do this on the speedometer. Anything past 60 is a straight up no. And, you know, and that's the extent of that. And I don't know how many parents can relate. But, it's needs for speed, you know. I mean, the majority, I know our Daytona Beach mayor isn't here this morning, but that's where I got the majority of my speeding tickets. Praise the Lord, was in Daytona Beach Shores. Don't go 5 miles over. They will pull you over. And so, but I've learned, I always tell my family, my kids, don't speed through Daytona Beach. You shouldn't speed anyways. But, you know, but that being said, is you definitely don't want to even go a few miles over in Daytona Beach Shores, because they are tight there, and that's awesome. But, you know, all of us, you know, we know that need for speed in some way, shape, or form, because and perhaps it's not a speedy car way, but we live in a culture that's honestly moving faster and faster and faster. Our culture is. And it's everywhere we turn. I mean, think about this. We want fast Wi-Fi, don't we? Fast internet connection. We act like there's nothing worse in the world to attempt to stream a movie and all of a sudden it freezes and starts pixelating, you know, or you are watching a YouTube video and then all of a sudden it stops and then that little infamous circle just keeps going and going and going, you know, or, you know, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is the worst internet ever. Why can't I have fast, you know, Wi-Fi? Or if I'm at home and I hear one of my kids who's playing Fortnite yell, oh my gosh, we have the worst internet, because they were in the top, you know, they were playing a Fortnite and they were in the top 10 and, you know, it froze and then they got shot, you know, and then they're like, oh my gosh, you know, how can the government give us this bad internet, you know, and blaming everything on everybody, you know, how can this be like this? How can I not have a fast internet connection? You know, how can life be so cruel, right? But we want fast, fast, fast internet, right? Think about this. Deliveries. Does anyone remember the day when you would go someplace and you would order something and they would say it would be 2 to 3 weeks before you received it, right? And you're like, okay. And they were like, you know, that's two to three weeks, or, you know, they'll say seven to 14 business days, because that didn't include a week. That means it's going to take a month, you know. But all of a sudden, Amazon Prime revolutionized. It just turned everything upside down with their free 2-day shipping. And then now everything, we want it so fast. We've gotten accustomed to that free, or that fast. And some of us, that's, be honest, some of us, that's not even fast enough, because we'll pay that little bit extra to get it the next day. You know, I can have it the next day, because why? We like it. We want it fast, right? And then think of the iPhone, or think of your mobile device, but the iPhone in particularly. You know, the iPhone truly revolutionized portable phones, mobile devices. I mean, you think about it, It only came out almost 12 years ago. The very first iPhone came out almost 12 years ago. It was June 2007. And now, 12 years later, we spend an average of 4 hours a day on that device. Think about how much the world has changed. How relational we are now. So much faster. Text. You know, remember the day when you used to call somebody up and leave a message on their answer machine at home? And you had to wait a full day before you heard back from them. And we get all upset when we don't get a text back immediately because we want it fast. We want it, you know. Now we have the availability to purchase anything we want with just a simple click. You know, it's like we see it, one click, boom, and it's headed to our house. You know, I remember that there was a day, there was a time, you know, where when we were dating, we dated off and on for 11 years, but there was a time where when we went out on a date and we would go, you know, we're going to go dinner and a movie, that we actually would go to like 7-Eleven or Jiffy, I would walk in the store, purchase a news journal paper, take that, walk out and sit there and just to get the movie times and what was playing. And now, poor news journal, but now it's like everything's easy access. It's fast. Fandango. Not only can I find out what's playing right this moment, but I could buy tickets right now and choose the seats that I'm going to sit in right now. But just a simple boom, 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 right? Walk up when I get there. Walk up and it's got a little thing. They scan it and I just walk right in. Easy. It's fast. Fast, 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 fast. Everything's getting faster. So with all that being said, yet with all of these advances in technology, all of these advances in things, have they really made life less stressful? It's okay. You can say it. It's no. No, it's not. It hasn't. Even though many may argue, you know, these advances in modern technology and in really modern society are great, but truthfully, if we're talking truthfully, we're just as busy as ever. So I think that fundamentally, these devices don't change the real problem, which is the human condition. Fundamentally, these devices don't change the real problem, which is our human condition. No matter what tech becomes available when we're alive, you know, you and I face this problem of continuing to be overwhelmed and being hurried. And notice I use the word hurried and not busy, because I'm going to attempt to show you that there's a difference between the two. And I use the word hurried instead of the word busy because I would define it differently than just busyness, the word hurried. And so hurriedness is like this sense deep down at your soul and your soul level. You feel like there's never enough time to do what you need to do in the day. You feel like all the time you're always behind. And I propose to you that's different from busyness, because busyness comes and goes. Busy seasons, there's all types of busy seasons. How many have little children in the house at this time? We know that's an extremely busy season. That's no joke, having little children. You know, in the house, you're constantly going and you know, waking up in the middle of the night and body breaks and this and that. It's a season. It's a season of being busy, but not hurried. And so, graduation. It's graduation time, right? So many individuals are graduating high school and are graduating college. And so they're in this time where they're taking finals, they're getting cap and gown measurements, you know, they're getting ready to you know, families coming in town, they're doing, having parties, you know, they're getting ready to walk, you know, across that stage. They are getting ready to go to college, move out there, or go into the workforce. I mean, it's a busy season, you know. Maybe you're in this place and you're facing health issues. And, you know, there can be a busy season of, you know, going to doctor after doctor after doctor, because that is the way your insurance, you know, that you need to go to two or three doctors before you really get to the doctor that you're supposed to, because it's got to go through the whole system to make sure that insurance is covered. That's time consuming. That's busy. That's a season. That is a busy season. Busyness comes and goes, but I want to suggest to you today that being hurried is something much more deeper. Being hurried, as I said, is at the soul level. It's a weight that you start to carry when you feel behind. You lay down at night to go to sleep. And even though you're exhausted, you toss, you turn, you don't sleep well, you wake up tired, more tired than when you went to sleep, and you just start facing the day all over again. Now, some of you right now are thinking, oh my gosh, this dude has been living in my house, you know, he's a fly on the wall, how did he get in my head? You know, it's not me, it's God. God wants to help you through that. He wants to give you what you need because he knows. Being hurried is a deeper thing that we face in our lives. And let me tell you something. It's not new. It's been around for thousands of years. Even in Jesus' time, being hurried was something that they faced. And they faced it without iPhones, without Amazon Prime, without fast cars, you know, without two-day delivery. They still faced the experience of feeling hurried. So Jesus comes along in Matthew chapter 11, and he gives us some great insight. And before we get there, I want to encourage you, you know, when our lives feel fast and furious, Jesus gives us a pathway to find freedom and fulfillment. Because that explains a lot of our lives, just fast and furious. But Jesus gives us and shows us a pathway to find freedom and fulfillment. Listen to what Jesus said to this group of people who were wrestling with the feeling of being hurried. In Matthew chapter 11, this is a very well-known verse, 28 and 29, verse 11, 28, 20, chapter 11, verses 28 and 29, New Living Translation. Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. I will give you rest. Take up my yoke. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your, what's that last word? Souls. See, that catches my attention, because rest for your souls. That's not a tired thing. That's not a physically exhausting body. Your body is exhausted. That's not a physical thing. He wants to give our souls rest. It's more than just our body. He wants to give our soul. Jesus is indicating that is a deeper issue. It's a soul issue. We need rest and refreshment for our soul. Deep down within our hearts and within our lives. And Jesus is saying here, I am offering this to you. I'm offering this kind of rest and this kind of a refreshment. And that's why it's so important for children of God to be in faith. You got to be in faith. It's so important. You know, sometimes we are overwhelmed, Now, this is human characteristics. A human characteristic. We all make this mistake. We can be so overwhelmed, be fooled into being so overwhelmed in our life, being hurried and mistaking it for busyness, that we think that we have to figure out how to get more done in a shorter time period. Think about it. When you're feeling overwhelmed and you're not getting anything done, that's what we automatically go to. We think the answer is in the calendar. We think that we try to get more stuff on the calendar, but what Jesus is implying here, that the answer is not found in the function of the calendar. True soul rest and refreshment can only be found by what he said in verse 28, come to me. How can we go from being fast and furious to being freed and fulfilled? Simply shift into rest. Just shift into rest. Particularly, I'm talking about God's grace. The rest of God's grace. And so, we're just fast and furious. And so, we're talking about, you know, just shifting. So, let me give you a couple of fast cars. Okay? I see Dick's here, and Dick's feeling good. And I know he's got a fast car. You know, Ben's breakfast. I hear it, you know. And so, but this is right here, the number one fastest car that you can purchase street legal right now is the Hennessy Venom 5F. Beautiful piece of machinery right there. But top speed is 301 miles per hour. That's and for only a measly $1.6 billion, it could be yours. Not much. It's street legal. And then if that isn't working for you, you say, well, that's just, you know, out of my budget. You know, then we have the Ferrari 430, F430. And so the top speed is 200 miles an hour. And you may say, well, you know, 301 is too much. I'll go 200. You know, so, you know, I can do that. And here's the thing. This actually happened before you show that next picture. A gentleman bought a black Ferrari. Bought a black 430. And 1 hour after he purchased it, this is what it looked like. He totaled it 1 hour after. And that guy walked away without any serious injury to him, to his body. But his pride and his bank account was seriously damaged and injured. But I want you to look at that picture. I want you to look at it for a second. That's what the speed of life can do to our soul. Living the hurried life can leave you feeling like that totaled Ferrari. And Jesus is saying, come to me. And one of our challenges, we face in our lives, in our culture, is that our culture tends to imply that so much of our success in life, our value, and our self-worth comes from our achievement. That means that we are constantly in the hamster wheel of always striving to achieve. So now you see Jeanette has put up, it's going to be this block that we're going to build here. So I want you to see this visually. Because our culture challenges us to start with achievement. You know, achievement, work hard, you know, do good, go to school, and impress your boss, make all the right moves, you know. And the end result of that achievement is that you will move from achievement to a place of, and the next here is acceptance. And so that is, you know, when your employer is happy, your parents are happy, you know, teachers in school are happy, you've impressed who you needed to impress. And so, you know, it starts with achievement and then it moves to a sense of acceptance based upon that achievement. And then we have the top one. We have simply significance. We achieve enough. We reach significance, then ultimately we can find a certain level of significance. And this is what our culture tells us. This is what society tells us. It stacks these things up in our life. And I believe with all of our heart that you and I may even, we do this without even realizing. A lot of us have embraced this type of framework in our lives. The challenge with this framework, if you see it, the achievement, you know, and the acceptance and the significance, the challenge with this type of framework is that you are constantly hustling for self-worth all the time. Simply because it is built on the block of achievement. As soon as you can't perform and get things done, or you can't achieve that thing that brings you acceptance, that thing, as soon as you can't perform that thing that brings you that your significance, all of that framework comes crashing down. And I believe Jesus is offering us, and he's offering in Matthew here, offering us a different path, a different way that will give us rest for our souls. So our lives spiritually doesn't start out with achievement at all. The first foundation is acceptance. And you're going to see through the Word of God, this is going to be restructured. But acceptance, each and every one of us desire deep down in our soul desires to be fully known and fully loved. Fully known and fully loved. Fully known being that you have to understand God knows who you are. God knows everything about you. God knows you better than you know yourself. You wash your hair in the shower, and one falls out. He knows what number that was. The Bible says he has the very hairs on your head number. He knows. He's known you since the beginning, before the beginning of the creation of time. He knows you. He knows who you are. So we have to understand that we are fully known. And then also fully loved. That, you know what, we all desire to be loved. And that, you know what, there's unconditional love. There's nothing that you can do to ever stop him from loving you. There's nothing that you can do to ever stop him to say, he'll like, you know what, there's Fernando. I don't want Fernando. Fernando disgusts me. Fernando can do the nastiest thing he's ever done, the biggest sin he's ever done. I mean, guess what? Jesus will still be there with open arms saying, I love you and I'm there for you. That is fully loved. And that's why that bottom tier is so important, because it's based upon acceptance of who we are. Because, see, we get into the trap of this. We get into the trap that it's what we do that it makes who we are. It's what we do. We do that all the time. Hi, how you doing? My name's John. Hi, Don, how you doing? What do you do for a living? We do it automatically. Why? Because it's a form of acceptance. But the truth of the matter is, the importance is not what you do. What's more important is that it's who you are. And if you understand you are fully known and you are fully loved, you know who you are because of this simple thing. Is you know who you are because that's what you are going to be taking into eternity with you. Not what you do, but who you are. That's what you'll be taking into eternity. And that's why faith, as I said earlier, is so important. Because if you don't have faith that you are fully known by God, you don't have faith that you're fully loved by God. No, even the Bible says it. You know, you've heard it a million times. But if you do not walk that out in faith, you will have challenges. That's why faith is so important for a believer, for a follower of Christ. Faith is important so that you understand and realize, and God can show you that, illuminate that in your heart, that you are fully known, fully loved by God. Your acceptance is not anchored by your own hustle, but it's anchored in what God did for you through Jesus Christ. So if we start with acceptance, we're accepted, fully known by God, fully loved by God, and we move up from acceptance to a level of significance. We are forgiven of our past. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. God works in our lives. We are part of a church community. Our eternity is secure. We have purpose in the world. Our significance comes out of acceptance. Then we move on to achievement. Achievement isn't the thing that drives our acceptance. Achievement isn't the thing that drives our acceptance. The achievement isn't the thing that drives our significance. Achievement is the thing that comes out of our acceptance and our significance. You see the difference? Jesus said in Ephesians chapter 2, God has prepared in advance good works for you to do. Now listen, we as children of God, followers of Christ, we should be all about the hustle. Don't get me wrong. But we should not be about the hustle for self-worth. We should be about the hustle, but because of how much God means to us, we should be about the hustle because of all that God has done in our lives. So I'm fully persuaded that the first framework that I showed you, you know, this is, I believe, God's framework, you know, through what we read here. And I believe that the devil just perverted what God did, because, you know, the devil can't create anything. You know, he's got no creativity. He can only pervert what God does. And so he's perverted our culture to have us running around, like I said earlier, just that hamster in the hamster wheel. And we're not happy. We are tired. We are hurried. And so, actually, won't the music ministry, if they don't mind coming up. Let me ask you, as we wrap this up and we land the plane, how do we experience this sense of refreshment in our lives, in our souls? How does that take place? Like I said earlier, we shift into God's rest, or the rest of God's grace. We shift into the rest of God's grace. And so I want to bring you to this one part in the scripture we read in Matthew 11 that stood out to me. And Jesus then said, "Come to me, all you are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." That "come to me" stood out. And I think that's awesome, because in the original text, that is literally the same phraseology that Jesus used at the tomb of Lazarus. And that caught my attention. And those of you know the story of Lazarus, Jesus' friend. He died. Jesus went to the tomb and he told them to take the stone and roll it away. And that same phraseology, "come to me," King James says, you know, he said, "Lazarus, come forth." To Lazarus, "come to me." He had to be specific, because we're talking about Jesus. If he just would have said, remove the stone, "come to me," everybody would have, anyone that's in that thing would have came out. He had to be specific. "Lazarus, come to me." The reason why I bring that to your attention, it stands out to me. You know, and he walks out and he's with his grave clothes, and you know, and Jesus tells him, tells the people around him, excuse me, he's bound by those grave clothes. He tells the people around Lazarus, "Unwrap him and let him go." King James is, "Loose him and let him go." But "unwrap him and let him go" catches my attention, because I believe that he is saying in Matthew, you can be wrapped up in hurriedness. He wants to free you. He wants you to be loosened. He wants to unwrap you. and you can be free. You can experience that freedom. Some of you may be feeling like you're in a dead career. It's going nowhere. Some of you may be feeling like you're in a relationship that's dead and dying. Maybe even some of you feel like you're dead and dying. And Jesus is saying to you this morning, come to me. Come to me and live. Just as he said to Lazarus. Just catch my attention, it's the same phraseology. Jesus never does anything by accident. He's super intentional. Come to me and live. Unwrap him and let him go. Unwrap her and let her go. Unwrap them from that addiction. Unwrap them from that state of being captive of their past. Unwrap them from that oppression. Unwrap them from living a life without purpose. He's saying, I want to set you free this morning to walk in a relationship with me, Jesus. Walk in a relationship with Jesus like never before. I mean, we took a few moments to honor those who sacrificed, paid the ultimate sacrifice, those families that paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom. We take that time and I pray that you do that and you honor. But, and not to be disrespectful, but shouldn't we even more honor what God did for us by sending Jesus for us so that we can walk in ultimate freedom? The freedom that we take advantage of every single day. I hope that each of us today move from a fast and furious lifestyle into a lifestyle of freedom and a lifestyle that's fulfilled through Jesus Christ. So I don't know if what you're wrestling with here today. You came into this place today and maybe you're here and you've never crossed that line of giving your heart to God. You never crossed that line of faith in your life.